This episode was created on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Lekwungen and Wissanic people. CFUV has been around for over 30 years. In that time, we have worked with many radio hosts, all with their own unique experiences and stories. I'm setting out to find how CFUV has affected its community and to get an inside story on CFUV's DJs. I'm Max Monday, and this is Behind the Mic. Today I'm interviewing the world-famous, somewhat famous, radio-famous station manager of CFUV, Johnny. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Max.
Station manager Johnny's humble beginnings at CFUV include a couple of missed orientation sessions.
Yeah, that's true. I had friends that were involved at the station, and I was one of the naughty kind of volunteers that signed up for orientation and then just didn't show up. And I think I did that twice before finally actually showing up to a volunteer orientation.
Why was that?
I thought everyone was going to be way too cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was really intimidated. And yeah, it was just, I don't know. I was a first year university student. I was probably like too busy just doing nothing important as well. Like, I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
But probably all underlying nervousness, not having as much self-confidence.
Do you feel cool now that you have been involved with the station for many years?
That's such a barbed question, because I want to say yes, but as I've become more and more involved in radio, I'm like, is this cool? I mean, I hope that people think I'm cool, but... Mm-hmm. It's like the least cool thing to say you're cool, isn't it? I don't know.
I would agree.
I feel like I have more confidence now, and that if I was in a similar situation, I would feel confident in presenting myself as a person that could join an organization like CFUV or a group of people that were passionate about music or arts or what have you.
So what would you say to someone who is worried about coming into CFUV because they didn't think they were cool enough, or they didn't think that they had a good enough music taste?
It's funny, I talked about this summer with some people from other radio stations, talking about the barriers to getting involved in campus and community radio, and the unspoken one is that cool factor barrier. But what was interesting about that conversation was that everyone agreed that that was a barrier. And I think what I would say to somebody is that I think every single person that's ever walked through the door of the station probably had that moment. But once you kind of take that leap and just put yourself out there, you'll be really happy with the experience and feel better about yourself. And of all the kind of leaps you can take, it's a pretty safe one. Everyone's nice and cool here.
In his early days at the station, Johnny participated in a late-night show that broadcasted from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., and that included some questionable content.
It was sort of just supposed to be a bunch of the different DJs who were all friends and had become friends through volunteering, getting together and playing music for 3 hours or however long we could last. The maestro of all this was Jeff Locke, and he kind of organized this, asked the program director at the time if we could all stay on late, and nobody was drinking or doing anything silly like that. It was just almost like a sleepover where this like pure energy of hanging out with people that you like for a long time late at night made it ridiculous. And we did some of the dumbest things that I could think of on the radio, but in the realm of late night radio and campus or college radio, it was maybe even tame by those standards. But my favorites were playing those terrible like late 90s internet soundboards of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Judge Judy and using those to interview the different hosts of the show, putting a bunch of people in our backup studio and patching them in as what we called the scream room. So if they liked something, we would point at them and then they would all just scream as kind of like a stinger drop, but live.
Yeah.
And then the best was sending Dana, who was the host of the Sound Travels, outside for weather reports, but at like 1 a.m. And he'd be like, what's it like out there? He's like, it's dark. And then we just turn his mic off immediately and be like, well, that's it. That was Dana on the street. And yeah, just silliness like that. It kind of degraded into some like really bad radio after about 12:45, but we won't talk about that.
Johnny has been hosting his own show, True North, since 2013. It features music from the basements of all over Canada. It's not cold outside for winter.
We can't blame. You know, I think that it's important to feature this music because as the ways that people consume music have changed, I mean, it's always changed, but there's so much music out there now. And I don't know, a couple of years ago, pre-Spotify, Apple Music, all that stuff, there was just so much. And there's a big role for campus radio stations in curating the kind of music that people would hear from communities that weren't as well represented and an alternative to mainstream. But now those streaming services have really honed it in. And I check those out and use them myself too. And you'll just never find this kind of stuff through there. And so I take it as a challenge to myself to try and put together an hour of music that you just will not be able to find. You just can't find it. I mean, there'll be a tape that is from a label in Victoria like Gary Cassettes that they don't even have a Bandcamp page, and you can't get the only... I mean, this is going to sound like a cool guy elitist, but the only reason I can play it is because I know the person that does the record label and I asked for a copy so I could share it with people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know, I think it's just important to make sure, and I don't know, I take huge pride and get really excited in helping people in my community, you know, support their art.
Can you pinpoint a time when you first fell in love with the Victoria music scene?
I don't know if I can pinpoint a specific time, but I mean, I think I became aware of there really being a scene. Now, this is, say I can't pinpoint a time, then I think of a specific moment, which was the 2009 Old Life Records party. This was a label run by Cody Spencer, who was, I don't know, he was kind of a CFUVer, like honorary. He didn't volunteer, but his partner Andrea worked at CFUV and was a good friend of mine. And the two of them kind of ran this little record label. It was like pre the resurgence of tapes, so they were putting out burned CDs. And they would have a concert, and we did this at the Rat Shack, which I can't remember at the time what it was called. It's called the Rat, or it's called Outer Heaven now, and it was Rat Shack, and whatever name it was cooked up for it before, but... Yeah, I brought a video camera and I filmed the concerts that night, and it was just a lot of fun. They had so many different bands play. It was kind of everybody that had contributed to the label in some way, and that would include people like Slam Dunk, Cobras, 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 Color Book, My Friend Wallace. And it's funny because My Friend Wallace was sort of like a precursor to White Poppy, which is a pretty big music group out of Victoria or connected to Victoria. Slam Dunk at the time was totally a joke band, like a joke side project of the other bands that those folks were doing. And so, yeah, that was kind of a nice community moment where I realized, whoa, there's just so many cool people and great music.
And how do you incorporate that feeling that you got into your work at CFUV?
I think it's probably about giving other people the opportunity to have that same experience. So just giving people the tools and the support to, like I said earlier, have some confidence to just go to a show like that and contribute to it in some way. I am not a musician, and I think that I feel very privileged all the time to be able to have a role in this music community. And I think that that's sort of something that CFUV does, you know, gives people that you know, some of them are musicians, some of them aren't, but it gives them a platform to use their opinions and their voice to support people. Mm-hmm. So whether it's just playing them on the radio or telling people about the show or the band, you know, yeah, that's probably one of the ways at least.
In his time at CFUV, Johnny has moved around in a handful of different positions. Along with managing the station, he has spent summers as a work study, filled in for a sick music director, and he held the title of program director for 5 years, which has been the most enjoyable one.
I've liked all of them for different reasons. I mean, music director was pretty great. I only did it for a month and a half, so I probably didn't have time to get burned out, but it was pretty awesome to open 10 envelopes every day of new music to check out that, and then get paid to do that. That's probably a dream job for many, many people. So I think that's probably in some ways the coolest job here.
Yeah.
When I was program director, I think that was probably one of the most rewarding positions, getting to work with people and really connecting with the community. And yeah, now I'm just excited about the new challenge of kind of trying to facilitate those opportunities for everyone that works here and that volunteers here.
Which one was the most challenging?
Program director is not a very easy job. You know, you're working with a volunteer base of 200 plus people, 80 something volunteer DJs. And, you know, if you were in a commercial radio station, a program director could just say, this is what we're doing now. Everyone get on board or get out. And, you know, there were probably days where I wished that, but there's a beauty to the kind of natural shape that a radio station like CFUV takes over time. And, but of course, it moves kind of slow, and that can be frustrating. And there are those days where it was 10 o'clock at night and I'm getting a phone call on a Saturday because somebody didn't show up or someone was sick or something's broken. And so, yeah, that could be, those were not always the most fun days, but I think it was still a great, I don't know. So much of my life is defined by that 5 year period of doing that work.
Yeah. Looking back on it, how does it feel to like not be in that position anymore?
It's hard.
Yeah.
I was just talking to our new program director, Katie, about all of their excitement and ideas. And it's hard not to want to kind of continue to have just my stamp on the programming at the station and give somebody else the opportunity, because I think that it's important that things change and new things come about. But I mean, I'm still involved in the programming in some way.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to do a better job of my own radio show now that somebody else is the person keeping tabs on me.
You have been very adamant about creating an image of CFUV being the voice of Victoria. Why is it important for CFUV to take on that role?
Victoria is such a diverse community, and, you know, I mean, that's kind of a hollow word in a lot of ways, but there's just so much going on in terms of music, arts, culture, the different communities that reside here. And you look at our media outlets in town, and they do good work, and I listen to them sometimes, or I watch them. But also so much of Victoria's identity is defined by Vancouver in a lot of ways. You know, you watch CBC News. It's not CBC Victoria News on TV, and I'm watching TV and getting a taste of what traffic was like today on Highway 1 between Vancouver and Langley. Like, I don't care. And we just have the opportunity to fill that voice here. And so for me, when I talk about CFUB being the voice of Victoria, it's not trying to be the authority, but being a place that allows all the diversity of voices and opinions to come together, and the station as a whole, as a representation of all of these people that get together, that is the voice. with all the different people making up the different words or tones or pitches or what have you, the quirks of the voice. And yeah, so that's why it's important to me. I think that it's important to kind of rally all of our volunteers and listeners around the idea of the importance of the station as something that represents or can support our community and always be that role. I mean, it's hard to talk about this stuff without saying that other stations aren't doing a good job or, you know, and I don't really like to have us exist in the comparison to the other stations, but we don't have a corporate interest. There's nobody else telling us what to do or say. It comes naturally from the people that get involved here. And I think that's what makes us unique, what makes us important, relevant, makes us something that's going to last for a long time. And the whole idea behind saying we're the voice of Victoria is to actually celebrate that instead of leave that in the shadows.
In your opinion, what's the best way to facilitate CFEV being the voice of Victoria, or get that into getting that into gear, I guess?
Well, I think for myself and trying to help run the radio station, it's more of an ethos or a mantra behind what we're trying to do and not just a slogan. I mean, it's a slogan when we say it on air, but it's also a challenge, which is to say that, you know, what voices aren't being represented in Victoria? If we want to say that we're the voice, then we need to make sure that we're giving those people an opportunity to have their voice broadcast, elevated, or amplified. And so, yeah, that's sort of the point of it, is to push us, to give us a direction of where to go, which is to always be calling in the people from the community to participate in making art. You know, I think that in a lot of ways, the radio that happens, there's a lot of art to it. Not the thing we were talking about earlier, the bad radio that I'd done before, but yeah, like the curation and the conversations that happen and making sure that everyone that is in our community has a chance to be a part of that. That's sort of the key. If we say we're going to be the voice, then we have to actually do it. And I think that that's what's important about it.
Johnny pushes the station ever forward with both his knowledge of the world of radio and his passion for the station he has played a huge role in for so many years. With Johnny as station manager, CFUV has a bright future. Our last track is The Zone's Voyager. This episode of Behind the Mic included a conversation with Johnny, station manager and host of True North, which airs on Thursdays from 10 to 11 a.m. For more episodes of Behind the Mic, check out your favorite podcast provider or visit soundcloud.com/CFUV.